what this Mr. Chardon says is a second part of the Sefer. We finished the first part of Mesillas Yesharim. Now we're starting the second part. We're in the first paragraph, and then we're going to go into, like we've done in the past, a rather lengthy introduction, which I don't know if we're going to finish tonight, but we'll start it at least. Perek Yud Gimel, the Bir Midas HaPrishus. This is the Midah of abstinence, abstaining, Prishus, separating. HaPrishus Hutchilas HaChasidus. The next Midah after Prishus is Chasidus. Oh no, it's Tahara really. But after this comes Chasidus. The Prishus is the beginning of Chasidus. You should understand that whatever we explained till now, in other words, the first 12 prakim of Mesillas Yesharim, if you do what it says in the first 12 prakim of Mesillas Yesharim, you'll be a tzaddik, but you won't be a chassid. Anything from now, right, so everybody up until now has integrated everything in the first 12 prakim, so we're all tzaddikim. Now we're going to become chassidim. The nimtza prishus im chassidus, prishus and chassidus are two sides of the same coin. Kemo hazehirus im hazrizus, the prishus is the more negative, the sur meira, shezeh besur meira v'zeh ba'aseh tov. Chassidus is the positive side of prishus. It starts by abstaining, and then we'll see what chassidus is, the more positive side of going lifnei meshuras hadin. One is abstaining from things that are really mutter, so you're going beyond the law, the letter of the law. If you just do what's mutter or usher, then you're a tzaddik. If you're a chassid, means you go beyond the letter of the law. Chassidus is lifnei meshuras hadin. So you can be lifnei meshuras hadin in what you don't do, right? You don't eat chaser, you're a tzaddik. But if you separate yourself from eating meat altogether, then you're a chassid. We'll see if that's proper or not. And then you can do mitzvahs. You give what's it called, a tenth, you're a tzaddik. You give a fifth, you're a chassid. You give more than lifnei meshuras hadin. So the prishus is the going beyond the letter of the law in negative things, and the chassidus is going beyond the letter of the law in positive things. And that is, from now on, everything till the end of the Sefer is how to become a chassid, whereas the first part was how to become a tzaddik. And chassidus has nothing to do with the common usage today, chassidim, snagdim, whatever. That's a relatively new occurrence. The Vilna Gaon, who was probably the biggest exponent of anti-chassidus, and when it started, was called Hagon HaChassid MiVilna. And the Hasidim didn't call him that, right? That was the title that he had. Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid was not a Chassid. There was no Chassidus in his time. He was called Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid because Chassid means somebody who goes and beyond the letter of the law, whether it's in monetary things, and he's mevater on what's coming to him. That's called Chassidus. Or when it comes to halachas, bein adam lechaveiro, bein adam lemakom, whoever goes beyond the letter of the law is called a Chassid. So now I want to speak about this idea of abstinence, abstaining from things. Is that a positive thing? Are you supposed to abstain from things? In other words, we have a Gemara that says that on the one hand, somebody who abstains from things that he is allowed to have, the Gemara says about him, lo dayich masha asra Torah. It's not enough what the Torah asked. You have to make new isurim. Right, the Torah, the Rabbanu Shlom knows what he's doing, and if he said it's mutter, it's mutter. Why do you have to go in and separate from it? There's also Yerushalmi that says that lasid lavo, a person's going to have to give an accounting for everything in this world that he could have enjoyed and he didn't. So the Rabbanu Shlom created the world; he wants people to use it. He wants the people to enjoy it. Right? Make brachas and everything because the enjoyment of this world gives us a hakara of the Chasdei Hashem, and it makes us aware that there is a God, and that we owe him a tremendous hakara satov for all the good things that he does for us. If you abstain from the world, you're denying yourself that opportunity. So l'chara, a person shouldn't abstain from things in this world. On the other hand, we find the whole parasha of Nedarim and Nazir, where right now we're in the middle of those two, between those two mesechtas in the Omid Yomi, Nedarim and Nazir, where a person can make a neder and prohibit things to himself, or become a Nazir and not drink wine and not mimatami lemesim and not cut his hair, and he's called a Kodesh, he's called a holy person, a Nazir. And on the other hand, it says that a Nazir is called a Chote, he's called a sinner, because he abstained and tzir means tzair means to make somebody, he pained himself by not drinking wine. Which one is it? Is he holy for abstaining from wine? Or is he a sinner? Right? Is it right to abstain? Right? Is a nether a positive thing, a negative thing? And if it's not a positive thing, why should anybody ever do it? Why is it okay to make a nether? So, I'll explain the following. And that is that it really depends on two conditions. When a nether prohibiting new things to yourself, or a nazir, is a positive thing, when it's a negative thing, there's two qualifications, really. First of all, Christianity. The foundation of Christianity is that this world is, material world is a negative thing. It was basically created to be a temptation and that people should avoid. And this world is a thing to avoid. And the more holiness means that you avoid being involved with the world. And therefore, their idea of holy people are people don't get married, people who don't wear nice clothing. They wear sackcloth or robes or whatever. They live in a convent or a monastery. Don't talk too much. Don't eat too much, and basically live a very austere. Austere life. And the more austere life you live, the holier you are. Okay? And in fact, in the New Testament, it says the following. It says that really a person who's holy is a person who doesn't get married, a priest, a nun, or whatever. But it's better to marry than to burn. Okay? Some people will debate that, but in any case, but that's what it says in the New Testament, right? That meaning the following, that it's better to be celibate, because that's holiness. But if you know that by being celibate, you're going to end up doing averis, you're not going to be able to control yourself. So then, because you have no outlet for those taivas, so then it's better to get married and have a permissible outlet for those taivas than to burn in Gehenna because you're doing something awesome. But marriage, indulgence is the lesser of two evils. The goal, ideal is separation, is precious. But if you know that separating yourself and abstaining is going to lead you to abuse, then it's better to indulge than to abuse. But so the pyramid is ideal abstinence. But it's better to indulge than to abuse. That's a lesser of, indulgence is a lesser of two evils. The Torah's idea is the mamish, the opposite of that. You know, they speak about the Judeo-Christian ethic, but it's mamish the opposite. From a Torah standpoint, it's better to indulge and use the world properly. Like I told you, Rishalmi says a person's going to have to give a din for everything he could have enjoyed in this world and he didn't. Because the Rabban Shem created a world, and part of the Hakaras Hashem is to enjoy the world that the Rabban Shem gave you. And not to separate yourself from it, not to run away from the world, to live in the world. And that is the ultimate Kedusha. Right? My Rashiv always used to say, it says, Kedoshim Tiyu, Ki Kadosh Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Your Kedusha has to be like my Kedusha. The Rabban Shem, on the one hand, is connected to every physical thing in the world. Because if he wouldn't be, it wouldn't exist. It only exists because he's connected to it, because he wants it to exist. So he has a connection to every physical thing. Yet, it doesn't. He doesn't depend on it. It doesn't. It's not much be on him. He uses it. He creates it. He gives it. Gives it life. It doesn't give him life. That's how a person has to be. He has to be involved in every physical thing in the world, but not that it should drag him into materialism. Just the opposite. He should raise it to be something spiritual. So the ideal is indulgence. Use the world. Be involved in the world. Don't run away from the world. That's the ideal. But if you know that by using the world, you're going to abuse it, then better to separate. So separation, abstinence, is the lesser of two evils. The ideal is indulgence. Except if you know that by indulging you're going to abuse, then better to abstain than to abuse. And the Christians say better to indulge than to abuse, but the goal, the ideal is abstinence. Mamish, the opposite thing. So the idea is the following. So what is the idea of a nether or whatever? It means that a person understands his limitations. If he would be perfect and he wouldn't abuse this world, he should be involved in everything. He should drink wine, should be involved in the world or whatever. Right? A nazir is only a temporary thing. He goes, the purpose of the nazirus is to learn how to drink wine, not to abstain from the wine, pashtus. And that's why a nazir, it says, if you see a sota, bikukula, you should abstain from wine. Because if you see what happened to this woman, and probably it happened because she let her guard down, and because she drank too much, or the guy who lived with her also maybe drank too much, and you realize that the same thing can happen to you. If you indulge in wine, you're going to lose control, and you could also end up doing aveiros. So you recognize your shortcomings, so you separate yourself from wine. So then you're a kodesh. You're a holy person, because it's better to separate yourself from the wine than to abuse the wine. But you're still a sinner. Chote doesn't mean you've done something wrong. Chote means you've missed the mark. You won't miss the mark. Something missing. Right? You're doing the right thing based on the circumstance you're in, but you're not on the ideal. Because if you had been on the ideal, you'd be able to drink the wine and it wouldn't affect you in a negative way. You wouldn't abuse it. You'd use it properly. And in fact, that's why it says that after the period of time that the person is a nazir, which could be 30 days that he separates from wine, it says, va'achar, after he goes through this whole process, yishteha nazir yayin. Then the nazir can drink wine. The obvious question is, he's not a nazir anymore. Once he can drink wine, he's not a nazir. So he's not the nazir drinking wine. He's the person who had been the nazir. But he's not the nazir. Va'achar yishteha nazir yayin. The idea is, the purpose of the nazirus is not to separate yourself from wine. It's to separate yourself from the wine and to teach yourself how to drink wine without abusing it. So that is the goal of the nazirus. Then the nazir, that's the goal. Now you're a nazir, right? You're not a has-been. You now have reached the purpose of nazirus, to be able to drink the wine and not be affected. You go back to drinking it. We'll see another qualification maybe next time, but we'll leave it for now. But that's one qualification. Therefore, really, a person should not make nadarim. He shouldn't make things asr that are what's it called, that are mutter, because like the Gemara says, well, dayich masha asr Torah, it's not enough what the Torah prohibited, you got to make your own prohibitions. But if what's it called, if you know that if you don't make those prohibitions, you're going to come to do something that's prohibited, right, then it's better to abstain, knowing your shortcomings. So therefore, a person like this, person says, you know, he can't control himself, and he just goes crazy to eat, you know, at McDonald's. Right, the trefa ones in America, not here. Here is some of the kosher at least. Right, and he can't control himself. So, and if he eats meat all the time, he's going to be drawn to McDonald's. So he makes a neder not to eat any meat. Now he becomes a vegetarian. So now the temptation of eating McDonald's is lessened because he doesn't eat any meat. So on the one hand, it's the right thing to do. It's a lesser of two evils because you know that if you eat meat, it's going to lead you to negative things. But if a person doesn't have any nisyonos like that, just stop, he decides not going to eat meat for no good reason except that I want to make something new, osir, then why do you have to make your own religion? the Rabban Shem gave a religion. He doesn't say it's usher to eat meat. Why should you make something that's mutter usher? Then it's wrong. It's like you're building your own little temple with your own little mizbeach, right? Which is usher. The Rabban Shem has a mizbeach. You don't need your little mizbeach. But there is a time in history when building your own mizbeach was okay. So if you're doing it as a preventative measure, then it's okay. Then it's like building a bomb at a time when it was okay to build bombs. If you're doing it stam, and there's no necessity for it, then it's something that's not proper. Why should you have to ask her something that the Rabban Shem said is mutter? Therefore, there is the concept of nidre hektish. There's one kind of nether where you make something hektish. I want to make an animal holy. I want to donate something to the Beis HaMikdash and make it holy. Those kinds of nedarim is one kind of nether. Then there's the kind of nether where I prohibit something on myself that wasn't prohibited. Okay? Or I make a shvua, I'm going to do something that I really don't have to do, but I'm making a shvua, a nether that I'm going to do something. Extra. More than the Torah says. So, some Rishonim learn that these are two separate parshios. They're not the same parshio. Because nidrei hekdesh are a positive thing. I should donate something to the Beis HaMikdash, make an animal a carbon, that's very positive. On the other hand, prohibiting things to myself is not necessarily a positive thing. So they're two separate things. The Rambam learns them one halacha. Nidrei hekdesh and nidrei isser. Because just like a person can make things holy, he can make himself holy too by prohibiting things if it's necessary. When it's necessary, it's not just the lesser of two evils, then for you, that's holiness. In order to be holy, you need to separate yourself from certain things, otherwise you're going to abuse it. That's a positive thing. According to others, it's just the lesser of two evils. It's really not a good thing to prohibit something. But if it's, you have no other choice, you have no other choice. It's similar to what Tosfos says. Tosfos says that the halacha is that if you have a bad dream, certain kinds of bad dreams that really bothers you, whatever, you're allowed to fast on Shabbos. Normally it's also to fast on Shabbos. You're allowed to fast on Shabbos because fasting has an effect to take away the effect of a bad dream. Fasting can minimize the bad effects of a bad dream. Okay, so there, but it has to be the day that you have the dream. You can't fast the next day. It doesn't help. It only helps the day that you had the dream. So if you had a dream Friday night, and you wake up Shabbos morning really upset, and it's those kind of dreams that really portend something negative, and there are very few dreams like that. So normally we don't fast for dreams on Shabbos, because whatever dream you have, it could be it's not even a bad dream altogether. Even if you see terrible things happen in the dream, they don't necessarily mean what you see. But there are certain kinds of dreams that if you're not thinking about those things and you have that kind of dream, then it recurs and it really bothers you that you should fast on Shabbos. I'm not going to tell you what they are, because if I do, tonight you will have that dream. And it's going to cause you problems because you're going to be thinking about it. So I'm not going to tell you what they are. But there are certain kinds of dreams like that. So it says, and you fast on Shabbos. You're allowed to fast on Shabbos, tainis chalom. So you get up on Shabbos morning and you say, well, this dream is really bad. I'm fasting. You fast. The halacha is then Sunday you have to fast again to atone for the fact that you fast on Shabbos. So, manasha, is it okay? Is it not okay? Right? If you're allowed to fast on Shabbos, what do you have to atone for it on Sunday? And if you're not allowed to fast, then don't fast. So Tosfos explains that it's really not ideal. But under the circumstances, right, if you didn't fast on Shabbos, you'd be more miserable. So it's the lesser of two evils. Better to fast on Shabbos and at least feel that you are clearing yourself of this bad dream than not to fast on Shabbos. Worry about the dream all the time. Anyway, you're going to kill your Shabbos, right? So at least do something positive to get it. So it's a lesser of two evils. So, but you still did something wrong. You fasted on Shabbos. But it was better to fast on Shabbos than the other alternative. But that's because it's a lesser of two evils. So memela, because you fast on Shabbos, you have to fast on Sunday to make up for it. Same thing with nedarim. Really, it's better not to make a neder. For a lot of reasons. One is that who said you have to prohibit something that the Torah says is mutter? Secondly, you may not even keep it, and then you'll be over the neder too. You'll be in worse trouble. So it's better not to make the neder. But if you know that if you don't make the neder, you're going to be in real hot water because you're going to do something really wrong, and this is going to prevent you from doing it, right, by having that nether, by prohibiting yourself of all meat, it'll be easier for you not to eat McDonald's from then on, right? So then it's less of two evils. That's one way of looking at it. Another way is no. If you need that kind of nether because of your personality, because of your circumstances, because of your yetzer hara, then it's not the lesser of two evils. Then it becomes a positive thing, just like making a korban. You're sacrificing something for the Rabbanu Shel Olam that for you is important to do. So in your situation, it's a positive thing. It's not just the lesser of two evils. There are two ways of looking at it. I was thinking that's why at the beginning of Yom Kippur is like the ideal day of the year, where a person is on the highest madrigal, he's like an angel. Then you don't need the darv anymore. For a person on that level, there's no such thing as a nether. Nether is only for a person who needs it, right, because he's holding less than being an angel. So on Yom Kippur, we're all angels for one day. We're mater nether, we say kol nidre at the beginning of Yom Kippur, to show that in this situation, when we're becoming like angels, and we don't need a darv, right, then it's enough just what the Torah prohibited. We don't need anything more than that, right? So that is the idea. The idea is that precious in itself is not an ideal. But if it serves a purpose, a positive purpose, then it can be. And we'll see what kind of positive purpose. One positive purpose, we said, is that you know that in your circumstances, if you don't abstain from this thing, you're going to abuse it. So then abstinence is better, either because it's a lesser of two evils, or because in your circumstances, it's the proper thing for you to do. That's one thing. With that, I wanted to say that's why there's a mitzvah to eat Erev Yom Kippur, and it's considered like you fasted 2 days. Because from another standpoint, a person could think that fasting is the ideal. Like everybody should be fasting all year, because like Yom Kippur, then you're like an angel, you're fasting. At Nebuch, we have to eat because we're human beings. But really, the ideal is to abstain, don't eat, don't drink, don't involve yourself in any of the pleasures of this world. That's really what this world should be about, Yom Kippur. But Nebuch, we can't, so the whole year we've got to be on a lower level. So the Torah gave a mitzvah to eat Erev Yom Kippur. Okay? And it said, not only are you eating, but it's considered like you're fasting, meaning there's absolutely no difference between serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu and eating or fasting. They're equal. You can eat, and it's just if you're fasting, and fasting is a positive thing when it's positive. But it's not the goal. It's not the ideal. Right? So we eat Erev Yom Kippur, Bedavka, to show that fasting on Yom Kippur is not the ideal, it's just that that's what's necessary at that time. One day a year, you need to fast. But it's not that's the way we should be all the time. It's just the opposite. You can eat, and it's considered like fasting. There's no difference in Kedusha, whether you're eating or you're fasting. The main thing is, how are you eating? Right? Are you using the eating as Avodas Hashem, or are you abusing the eating? So that's one way of looking at it, that really precious is only a tool to be used if you are not able to handle indulging in the things that you're indulging in. If you can't handle it, then the ideal is to handle it and use it. Like the Rabbanu Shalom has shaykhus to every physical material things in the world. If you're not able to handle it, then there's a mitzvah for you to separate yourself in such a way that you won't abuse it. That's one way of looking at it. It's not the only way. But that's one way. And therefore, the Nazir, who recognizes his inability to drink wine and not abuse it, has a mitzvah to separate himself from wine. But he's not, yes, so he's Kodesh. He's doing something that will make him more holy. Because if he drinks the wine, he may come to do Averis. But on the other hand, he's a Chotet. He's missing something. Because he should have been able to drink the wine and not abuse it. And use it properly. That's the ideal. So he's missing the ideal, but on the other hand, he's doing what under his circumstances is proper. The lesser of two evils. That's one way of looking at this Nazirus. There's a totally different way, but digest this way first, and next week we'll speak about the other possibility. This is one way. It's a legitimate idea of when precious is positive and when it's not. It does seem, however, I'm just going to leave you with that there is such a thing of precious, not only for people who would, without the precious, abuse. We find great tzaddikim or whatever, who bedavka didn't eat too much or didn't want to enjoy this world. And it doesn't seem like it's because they knew that had they eaten and enjoyed it, they would have been led into sin. They're not that kind of people. Right? It seems like they related to this concept of abstinence as a goal in itself, as something positive in itself, not only as a protection from worse, but that abstaining itself was a milah for them. So we have to have another possible explanation of this, otherwise we can't explain those kind of people, right? And the Chara, we find many sources that seem to say that separating yourself from the things of this world is a positive thing in itself.
So,
what? We'll see. He goes into great detail of what precious is.
But
it's Hasidus, but it depends for who and for what. It's a higher madrega when it's necessary and when done properly. And then you're going with the Meshuras Hadin. Because really the din says you could eat this thing, but you know your shortcomings, so therefore you're, that's a nazir, it's called a kodesh. So that's what he could mean that too.
That but it's not
you know, you will see what he explains. He explains, well, what I'm telling you is included in what he explains, both things. But in order to understand what he explains, you need to know both of these possibilities. But the first possibility is definitely an emissa way of looking at it. And according to that, though, there is no ideal in itself of precious. Precious is a tool. Okay? It's a very important tool if the circumstances are necessary. But if the circumstances are necessary, there's nothing intrinsically good about separating yourself from the world, based on the sources that I told you, that a person's going to have to give a din v'cheshbon for things that he could have enjoyed and didn't. And the Torah says, lo yadayecha masha asra Torah. It's not enough that the Torah asra. You have to make new isurim. So that's one way of looking at it. We'll see, though, it doesn't really answer or explain everything. Next week we'll see the other possibility, and then when we go through the Mesuzah Sharm, we'll see which of these two or both of them that he alludes to.